Welcome to Rhema for Today.
Well, now, in one sense of the word, Paul didn't heal him. In another sense of the word, he did, if you understand how he did it. Now, notice, here the man is sick with fever and a bloody flux. Paul entered in and prayed. Did you notice that he prayed first? Now, really, this is the first. Did you ever stop thinking about it? We've gone through the Acts, and this is the last chapter. This is the first reference in the Acts of the Apostles where we have any reference to anybody praying in connection with the sick.
Welcome to Rhema for Today. Kenneth E. Hagin continues his teaching, Incline Thine Ear. Later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin for today's message.
Praise God. If you have your Bibles, to begin with at least, you could open them again to the fourth chapter of Proverbs. I don't know of any better scripture anywhere in the entire Bible that will emphasize the fact that God wants us full of life and health. That's His will. Notice what it said. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, 21, 22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from before thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Why? For they, my words, are life unto those that find them, and health. My words are health to all their flesh. Amen. I said amen. All right, let's turn on over now to the 28th chapter of the Acts, and this is the next recorded instance we have concerning healing in the Acts of the Apostles. Let's just back up here to the very first verse. Just get the full import here. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. Remember, the ship was lost, every man's life was saved. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffered not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they looked a great while, they saw no harm came to him. They changed their minds and said that he was a god. Now you remember back there in the Great Commission we read earlier, one of the signs of following a believer, they'll take up serpents. That doesn't mean that you'll just promiscuously handle snakes. You see, you have to interpret Scripture in the light of other Scriptures. And so the only other Scripture we have on this is here where Paul was accidentally bit. And so Paul was accidentally bit, and he just shook that off. Praise God in the name of Jesus. It affected him not at all. Now then the people decide he must be a god. I was reading when I first received the baptism, the Holy Ghost spoke, the other tongue came into the Pentecostal movement. I got acquainted with the Pentecostal Evangel, which is the official publication of the Assemblies of God. And I read this testimony, well, an article actually on the concerning the name and the blood of Jesus. And this lady had been a missionary, was a missionary. In fact, she'd been a missionary for 34 years, way back there then, ever since, in other words, at the turn of the century. One of the foreign countries. And in her message, she related this story that she was bitten by one of the scorpions or whatever there in that country. And when you were bitten by it, I mean, that's it. You die. Nobody ever lived. There's no antidote for it. That's just it. Well, see, they expected her to do the same thing that did Paul. Swell up, fall down dead. And she happened to be out in the public when it happened, and folks watched her. Nothing happened. She said, "I shook it off in the name of Jesus and said, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ." See, there is power in the blood. There's power in the name. And she didn't fall down dead. She didn't get sick at her stomach. She didn't get sick at all. And you see, God used that as a sign. Nearly the whole village turned to God. Amen. Her God's a real God. Amen. He's one. Hallelujah. Amen. Again, some of the brethren of the Assemblies of God down in Texas told me in the early days of the Texas District of the Assemblies of God, they met in Corpus Christi, Texas, for a district convention, which they had every year. And they checked into their hotel, and our hotels, most of them stayed in one. And you know, we're talking about many, many years ago, and they didn't have all the modern fixtures. These folks, they had a, and you've seen these in some of these antique places, you know, a wash pan or a bowl, you know, and a pitcher of water. Then they had a tent up out there in town where they had the service. And then they had another tent that was the cooking tent. In fact, they ate and they cooked and everybody ate together, you see. Well, they checked in, they began to check into the hotels, and they began to get sick. I remember Brother F.D. Davis, who for a number of years was superintendent of the Texas District Assembly of God. Brother Davis told me personally, talking to several young preachers, because he was one of them. We checked in there, and we started getting sick. Now, he was a younger minister in those days himself, and people started getting sick at the stomach. And so he said, we went out under the tent and began to pray. And we were praying, the Spirit of God showed one of the ministers, gave him a word of knowledge, that the water, you see, because these pitcher, every room had a pitcher of water in it. See, you drink the water, you pour it in a wash pan, wash your hand. And that somebody had put poison in that water. So they went back to the hotel as fast as they could and told all of them, don't drink any of that water. And so then, you know, there's a naval station there, you know, at Corpus Christi. And they took the water out of these pitchers, you see, and had them to analyze it. They said there's enough strychnine in that water to kill a regiment of men. Not a one of them died. Those that already drunk it got healed. The rest of them didn't drink it. If they drink any deadly thing, it'll not hurt them. Amen. Praise God. Now, that's a real fact. See, that's a real fact. Now, you see, that doesn't mean you go around and say, well, now this is poisonous. We've had the doctors all to attest that this will kill you. I'm going to drink this and prove something. No, that's unscriptural. That's unscriptural. That's right. But if like that, somebody trying to heal, they knew these people, some devil in somebody, you know, knew these people believe in divine healing, power of God, we'll just see, you know. Put poison in them. But they didn't die, thank God. Amen. Paul didn't die. He wasn't around handling snakes, trying to prove something. He's picking up these sticks. One accidentally bit him. These signs are follow. Praise God. All right, let's go on reading now. So then they said that he was a god. Seventh verse. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. Well, now, in one sense of the word, Paul didn't heal him. In another sense of the word, he did, if you understand how he did it. Now, notice, here the man is sick with fever and a bloody flux. Paul entered in and prayed. Did you notice that he prayed first? Now, really, this is the first. Do you ever stop thinking about it? We've gone through the Acts, and this is the last chapter. This is the first reference in the Acts of the Apostles where we have any reference to anybody praying in connection with the sick. Other than in that fourth chapter of Acts, the early church there prayed that they'd be able to speak the word of God with boldness by stretching forth your hand to heal the sick. And the signs and wonders will be wrought in the name of the Lord Jesus. But that's not praying directly for the sick, is it? So then you see, in Acts 3, Peter didn't pray for the man. And again, remember the man's not a Christian, not a church man, not a member of the body of Christ. They've been born again. That lame man. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And down to 16th verse, it says, and his name, the name of Jesus, through faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know. So there you see the name of Jesus and faith in his name getting the job done. All right. Secondly, you see in the fifth chapter of Acts, Peter's shadow falling on folks. Now, you got any scripture for God working through a man's shadow? No, but you got any scriptures against it? No. See, God may do something a little different than what we've seen. But here's the way you judge it, and you can tell whether it's God or not. Does it attract attention unto the person or attention unto God? Does God get glory out of it? And secondly, does it bring blessing to humanity? Hallelujah. Well, certainly God got glory out of it, and the sick were healed. They were blessed. Amen? Amen. Even though there isn't any scripture, nothing that ever happened before. Never had it ever happen before. I mean, if we're going to go by the Bible, we'd say it never had happened. Yet, thank God, God does move spectacular ways. See? Amen. Then you've got the deacon full of the Holy Ghost and power. Amen. So get full of the Holy Ghost and power, you can do the same thing Stephen did. Fourth, you got the evangelist equipped with gifts of the Spirit. Went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto him. Fifth, you got Peter saying to Annas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Like I said, it works both ways. You can be inspired because the Spirit told you to do it. Tell somebody, Jesus Christ maketh you. You see, and you got to realize, though, that Annas now is among the company of the believers here. Or you could just tell people the word. Himself took our infirmities because that Jesus Christ make you whole. Get up. Amen. He'd been bedfast 8 years. Praise God. Amen. Amen. You have reference by the hands of Paul and Barnabas. God wrought great things by them. Doesn't tell us about it, except it isolates this one incident where the lame man was healed by the preaching of the gospel. He is healed on his own faith. Now, really, that's the first and only record we have of individuals being healed on their own faith, their individual faith. It was Peter's faith in the name of Jesus that got the lame man in Acts 3 healed. It was Peter's shadow, because God answered the prayer of the believers and worked miraculously through them as a sign and a wonder that healed people, not their faith.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, Craig Hagin, Lynette Hagin, and Denise Hagin Burns by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's offer. First, we're offering Pastor Kenneth Hagin's CD, How to Grow in Love, along with his book titled, The Healers in Your House. Next is Reverend Lynette Hagin's CD, Whatever You Need, God's Got It. Finally, we have Kenneth E. Hagin's DVD, Bringing Back the King. All these items are for the special price of only $30. To order, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. That's 1-888-324-8499. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so email us today at partnerservice@rhema.org. Thanks for listening to Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
There is Rhema Bible Training College. You can apply for the spring enrollment. That's January the 9th. Oh my, and so we have some new programs that's just a couple of years old, and that's the Music and Media program. It's a wonderful program to learn about church service production, video making, social media,
church audio, podcasts, the different things. You know, things change in the way we present the gospel.
Yes.
But the gospel never changes.
That's right.
Call 1-888-FAITH-99. That's toll free, 1-888-FAITH-99. Tomorrow, Kenneth E. Hagin will continue his message, Incline Thine Ear. Thanks for listening to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.